This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
I want us to talk about faith this morning, because faith involves risk. And if we're going to reach the world, the unreached, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to be willing to take a risk. So I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read God's word. I'm just going to read this one verse, but I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles open, because we're going to be referring to a number of passages in this particular chapter, chapter 11. So chapter 11, verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to talk about faith and why it's so important for the gospel to be taken forth. It's important for us. It's important for the missionaries. It's important for the church at large. There's a very famous pastor, and he says this about missions. He said, we have three choices in missions. First is to go. And there may be some folks here this morning who are feeling called, feeling like maybe God would have me go to reach these ones who've never had an opportunity to hear about Jesus. So go. The second choice we have as Christians is to send, to enable others to go. Now, both of those take faith. Yeah, it takes faith to go. And we're going to talk a lot about that this morning. But it also takes faith to send someone. You know, you've got to trust that God's going to care for them. You've got to give them financially what they need to go. And, well, how's that faith? Well, you know, the Bible says that we are to give of our first fruits. You know, we passed the offering plate just a few minutes ago, and we made contributions. We put our tithe. First fruits. Why is that important? Because when you give the first fruits, you don't know if you're going to get anything else. If you're in an agrarian society and you have some crops come in and you give of that, there may be a drought. There may be a flood. You may not have anything else. So the temptation is to hold that back, okay, because that's my insurance policy. But when you give it to God, the first fruits, you're giving him, you're showing faith. It's an act of trust in him. So we're going to talk about faith, what it is, and how it affects our lives. Some of you may remember the name Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a missionary that gave his life in the jungles of South America to reach the Aka Indians. And Jim said this. He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let me say that one more time. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Well, I told you to keep your Bibles open to chapter 11. I want to point out verse 8. So just a couple of verses below verse 6. "By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Now, this morning, I'm going to give you several patterns we find in Abraham's life as we look at this concept of faith, because it's so important. So important for missions. It's so important for our spiritual lives. You'll remember we just read, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, if you displease God, it doesn't matter who you please. And you can please the whole world and displease God. And that's a big problem. Martin Luther said this, I fear no man because I fear God more. So what is faith? The Bible says this, the righteous shall live by faith. So the question that I hope to answer, really two things, is what is faith and how does it work? I said that just a moment ago, but let me say it again. What is faith? It's so essential to everything about our spiritual lives. It's so essential to the life of a church. It's so essential to your life as a believer. It's so essential to world missions. Now, faith is the substance, the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Another translation puts it, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when you go through something tough, and I see some young people here, so let me just assure you, it's going to come. You know, most of us who are my age and older know, life gets tough. And this passage is called kind of the heroes of the faith. It's kind of the listing of those people that walked by faith and were assured that they could trust their God. And again, I want to give you several patterns that we'll see in Abraham's life. The first one is this. Abraham listened. Abraham was known as one who believed God, and that was credited to him as righteousness. Paul talks about that in Romans 4, that it's not our good works that justifies us. It's our faith, our belief in God. Look at verse 8 again. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now put yourself in Abraham's position for a few minutes. How would that feel? Go. I want you to go, Abraham, but I'm not going to tell you where. Friends, we don't even do that to our world outreach missionaries. I mean, they know where they're going pretty much. Maybe we help them decide and try to put them in the right place that's going to work for them with their skills and the talents that they have. But Abraham is called to go to a place he doesn't have an inkling of where God is sending him. Now, I'm afraid I would be going, Lord, you've just asked too much. I mean, you want me to, you're not going to even tell me? But we're told here that Abraham listened. I can't tell you how many people say to me, Chris, if God would just speak to me, if God would just tell me what he wants me to do, I'd do it. And often I have to look at them and say, are you doing what you know it's God's will now? Are you doing what has been revealed in this book? Are you listening to God? You know, you may remember this. It's one of my favorites. It's from Mark Twain, where he said, it's not the part of the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's what I do understand. So are we listening to God? Are we putting ourselves in places where we're under the teaching of his word? Are we studying his word? Genesis 12 tells the fuller story. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make you great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left as the Lord told him. Now Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God has spoken. The question is, are we listening? Are we putting ourselves under this book? God's infallible, inspired word. Number two, as we look at these patterns, we saw Abraham listened, but Abraham obeyed. Now, if I was in Abraham's shoes, as I said a moment ago, I'd be going, no, where do you want me to go? I think the least you could do, God, is to tell me where we're going. Seriously, Lord, you're not going to tell me? Can you imagine what that must have been like for Abraham? How much faith do you think you have to pull up stakes? To just pull everything up? And Abraham was not 20. He wasn't 35 or 40. Abraham's 75 years old. And Ur of the Chaldees, which is where he lived, was quite a place. I've seen in the British Museum some furnishings that were in homes. It looks like things out of our homes. Beautiful, ornate, unbelievable. This wasn't just some Bedouin tent site. It was a very modern, up-to-date city that God was asking Abraham, where he had a business. His father's family was there. It was his home. And God says, Abraham, leave and go to some place, but I'm not going to tell you where. And Abraham obeyed. Now, I want you to notice the passage here. When the phrase says, when called, when Abraham was called to follow God, to leave, the translation is a present participle. You English majors and teachers will know what I'm talking about. The rest of us, let me explain it. Basically, it means that while this call from God was ringing in Abraham's ears, he responded. That's what it means. Immediate response. He obeys immediately. So he acts on God's word. Do I do that? Do you do that? Do we respond immediately? Now, faith is the substance, we read, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Friends, it's faith that sees the invisible, knows the unknowable, and does the impossible. Let me say that again. It sees the invisible, it knows the unknowable, and it does the impossible. Is that the kind of faith you want? It's the kind of faith I want. That kind of strong, great faith in God. Abraham packed up and he put it in motion. A.W. Tozer, who was a famous Christian writer in the last century, said this: the Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. The two are opposite sides of the same coin. And this is going to have an impact not just on Abraham, but his wife, his servants, all those that go with him. It's no small thing. Get the moving vans. We're leaving, Sarah. Where are we going? I don't know. We're just going. Have you ever wondered why faith is so important to God? Has that ever crossed your mind? Why is faith so important? Why does the writer here in Hebrews say it's impossible to please God without faith? Well, I want you to hold that for a moment. I'm going to come back to it. If I don't, raise your hand, okay? And say, Chris, we need to answer that. But let me ask this. What's the worst sin? What is the worst evil? Is it murder? Is it stealing? Is it lying? Suicide? Maybe invading a poor Eastern European country and just bombing the heck out of them? What's the worst sin? Well, friends, the reason people are lost and will spend eternity separated from God is not so much because of their sin, the sins they've committed, but it's because they will not believe. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How about John 3:18? Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. See, unbelief is the source of sin. If you think back to the Garden of Eden, it was unbelief that brought sin into the world. Adam and Eve are in paradise. They're in the Garden of Eden. And the only thing God has said, don't eat from this one tree. And yet the evil one comes and says, you can't believe God. He's got an ulterior motive. He's holding back on you. And they believe the lies of Satan. They didn't trust God. They didn't think God was trustworthy. So why is faith so important? And why is unbelief such an affront to God? Because it challenges God's integrity. In unbelief, you are calling God a liar. God, you can't be trusted. You're a stinking liar. That's why it's such an affront to God. And faith is saying just the opposite. I can trust you. I can believe on you. I can rely upon you. That's why faith is so important to God, because it's about a relationship. I may say this again, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone you can't trust? There's no relationship, is there? Not really. Now, I can hear some of you saying, well, you know, if God would speak to me like he did to Abraham, with an angel, and Moses from a burning bush, and Saul on the road to Damascus, you know, I'd believe. I'd do what he tells me. I wonder. Now, I have to admit that those that I just mentioned and many more, God communicated to in supernatural ways. And that's not the norm today. But that does not mean that we are at any less of an advantage. In fact, we are at a greater advantage than those saints in the Old Testament. Today, God speaks to us through this book, through his written word. And we as believers not only have God's inspired, infallible word, but we have the mind of Christ, the scripture tells us, and we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So these three things give us so much more of an advantage than those that lived in the Old Testament times. You can read God's word. And again, as I said a moment ago, are you obeying what we know already? You know, so many times we pick and choose, don't we? Oh, I like this. I don't like that. And we call that cherry picking. And that's what we do. We cherry pick what we'll believe and what we won't believe. Why should God give us more light when we're not obeying, we're not using the light that he's already given us? So again, are we putting ourselves under the authority of God's word and the scriptures? Are we calling God a liar? Are we saying, God, you can't be trusted? Let me give you a definition of faith. Faith is behaving. I really like this. Faith is behaving like you believe God is telling you the truth because you do. Faith is behaving like you believe God is telling you the truth because you do. The Bible calls walking by faith, they call this walking by faith, not talking by faith, not feeling by faith, not thinking by faith, walking by faith, because in other words, it involves action. It involves doing something. The Bible says, be ye doers. So what you believe about God has to be married with what you do. James writes, faith without works is dead. So we have to put our belief, our trust in God, into practice. And that's why I said faith equals risk. We have to be willing to put it out there, to trust him. And that's a question. When is the last time you or I'll put it on me too, really letting it on the line? Really said, God, if you don't come through, I'm stepping out, I'm trusting you. When's the last time you did that? Risk. When you step out in faith, it pleases God. Use your imagination for a moment. You know, we've got war going on in Ukraine. We've got war going on in Gaza, Israel. We got wars numerous places around the world. So I want you to imagine a father running out of a building that's just been bombed, and he's got his son, and he's pulling the little guy behind him, and all of a sudden he hears things going on around him. He sees a hole. He jumps in the hole, but his son pulls back. And he's saying, jump! Jump! And the little boy's afraid. He can't see his father because the hole is dark. And his father's saying, jump, jump. And finally, the little boy jumps because he trusts that his father is there and that his father will catch him. Have you ever heard this phrase? Trust his heart when you can't see his hands? That's worth writing down. Trust God's heart, even when you can't see his hands. Abraham obeyed God, not knowing where he was going. You know, we don't have to totally understand. Just like a child doesn't understand his mom or his dad, but he trusts them. Do you believe that God is trustworthy? See, obedience is born out of trust. I trust God and I trust his goodness and that he has my best interests at heart. Again, that's where Adam and Eve, that's where they lost it. Do we believe that? God is good? Well, friends, all you have to do is look at the cross. Look at what God did in sending his son, Jesus. And Jesus, on the night before he was to go to the cross, is in Gethsemane, and he's sweating drops of blood, and he's in anguish. Because he knew what was ahead of him. He knew that he would suffer an eternity of hell for you and me. And he could have called down 10,000 legions of angels and been done with it. But he said, not my will, your will be done. So if you ever are tempted to doubt God's goodness, look at the cross. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the promise. You know, as we think about Abraham, this wasn't his home. He knew his home was somewhere else. That made a difference in his life. You know, sometimes we're told to be of the world, in the world, but not of the world. Sometimes we are of the world. We start to think like the world thinks. You know, we start to put our treasure where the world puts its treasure. And yet the Lord tells us that where our treasure is, there will our hearts be. The reason why some of us don't have this kind of great faith is because our priorities are in the wrong place. Our citizenship is in the wrong place. The fourth thing that I want you to see here is Abraham remained faithful. He believed God even when things got tough. I said that a few moments ago to our younger members of the congregation. It's going to get tough. The passage here tells that Abraham's faith, even in difficult situations, remained true. You know, God specializes in giving us opportunities. He specializes in giving us opportunities to grow our faith. He promised that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. Remember that? And yet Abraham and Sarah had no children. They were beyond childbearing years. Yet Hebrews 11:12 says, therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky. If you'll jump down to verse 17, by faith when he was tested, offered Isaac. You remember that story? Back in Genesis chapter 22, God tells Abraham to offer this child, this miracle child, this child that you know, it took every bit of faith Abraham had to believe that this was true. Sarah laughed, but yet they followed God, they trusted God, and God gives them this son. And now God says, Abraham, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And you can just see Abraham, he's shaking the knife. In fact, the night before, when he's loading up the donkey, Abraham's out there doing it. He's a rich man. Why would he be saddling his own donkey? Because he's disturbed. He's upset. You know, just because we walk in faith doesn't mean there won't be difficult things. And Abraham's got that knife, and he's about to plunge it into the heart of his son. And that kind of goes against our sensibilities this day and age. But the writer of Hebrews tells us Abraham could do that because he trusted that God could raise that boy back to life, even if he killed him. See, he believed God. Now, how could he have done that? How could he do that? How could he trust him? I'll tell you how. Because Abraham had seen God's faithfulness time after time after time. And so he could trust God even with this. See, walking by faith is not a concept. It's a lifestyle. And I said a moment ago, God does give us times to prove our faith, not to see us fail, but so that we will see that the faith he's giving us, and it's a gift, and I encourage you to pray for that gift, but he gives us opportunities. So the faith he has given us, we can show it faithful. We can prove it. And friends, as we wrap things up, it's not just faith. It's who your faith is in. Is your faith in something or someone worthy of your faith? You know, if I see this bottle of pills and I think, oh, it'll help my headache, but it's rat poison, it's not going to do much, no matter how much faith I have. If we put our faith in God, then he's worthy of our faith. I remember Paul and Silas are on the missionary journey, and they've been thrown in prison. And there's a very famous African-American preacher named E.V. Hill. And E.V.'s telling about this story. That Paul and Silas are in the prison. And in the middle of the night, the Bible tells us they start to sing. They probably didn't feel like it. It's probably cold, it's damp, it's awful. They've probably been beaten, but they start to praise God as an act of trust, of faithfulness. And E.V. Hill says, God hears it. And he can hear the rhythm of what they're singing. Like we might sing, you know, that we're leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting God. And E.V. Hill says, God starts to tap his foot. And the Bible tells us that the earth is the footstool of God. And God is tapping his foot to the rhythm of the song that Paul and Silas are singing, and all of a sudden the earth starts to tremble, and the gates and the walls of that prison fling open, and the shackles fall off, and they're free. See, God responds to our faith. Or you think about Jesus, and this is hard to understand. When Lazarus, his friend, is sick, and they send word, please come quickly. Your friend Lazarus is sick and about to die. And yet the Bible tells us in John's gospel that Jesus stayed two more days where he was. Why would Jesus do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Jesus knew. And Jesus loved them, but he knew that he could build their faith so much more. You know, he gets there and Martha comes out. Mary's there, but Martha comes out and says, Jesus, if only you'd been here. And Jesus says, do you believe? Do you have faith? And he raises Lazarus from the dead. How much more did that strengthen Mary and Martha, and even Lazarus' faith, than if he'd just been healed, but he's raised from the dead. See, often we don't know what God's doing, what God's plan is, but do we trust him? Do we trust that he's faithful? And that's the final point. Abraham's God proved faithful. And I said it earlier, and I will say it again. All you have to do is look at the cross. That descendant of Abraham that God started back when he called Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees, to go to a place he wouldn't go, and that he would make him into a great nation that would bless the whole earth. And now we look at the cross, and there hangs Jesus Christ. God is faithful. He was faithful to Abraham, and he's faithful to you and to me.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.